I could go on with the things that I and we probably never expected to have happen over these last couple of months. I wonder, as I'm listing some of the things that I didn't expect, what springs to mind for you in this last couple of months? What was the most unexpected thing that happened? There's a beauty for me about meeting today. Meeting again, gathering again for the first time in 9 weeks on Pentecost Sunday. The day we remember the coming to earth of the Spirit post-Jesus' earthly ministry. It is a day that God, yet again, did something totally unexpected, and it was world-changing. For those of you who haven't been online with us in these past few weeks particularly, we've been sitting with the story that leads up to today, and the hinge between Luke and Acts in Luke's account of Jesus and the church. We first, about 3 weeks ago, looked at Jesus entering into lockdown himself that the disciples were in through those locked doors. He greeted them intimately in that space. We then looked at his ascension, in which he blessed them as he ascended, and he promised the Spirit's coming. And last week, we considered the way the disciples discerned how to proceed by casting lots to decide who would replace Judas Iscariot, believing in that very practical act that God was speaking and guiding them. They were prayerful in those moments, but they didn't stop at prayer. They were active in their discernment. And we've been able to begin to ask some questions about what the future might look like, how this pandemic experience could reshape things for us as a gathered community. And if there's one thing I'm realizing, it's that if we are willing, it's likely that whatever is ahead of us, if the Spirit has anything to do with it, it's not going to be something we expect. So let's have a read of the story from the beginning of Acts chapter 2, 1 to 13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.'" In the newsletter this week, I titled my reflection this morning, "What if the Spirit is doing something unexpected?" Pentecost Sunday marks 7 weeks since Easter Sunday, so today is day 50 we celebrate, since we celebrated, albeit very differently, the resurrection of Jesus. Resurrection Day was our second gathered service digitally, so we haven't gathered together for 9 Sundays. That was not in the plan for the year. But here we are, all of us, impacted by these past couple of months. I know that for some, isolation has been particularly hard. For others, it has been a time to pause. For some, the opportunity to be with family in your bubble has been a blessing. For others, to have family or friends only be able to perhaps drop off food and wave, if you're lucky, from a distance has been really difficult. It was no surprise then that one of the loudest things that I heard when I asked last week, what are you missing? The answer was being together. Gathering together like this is a vital part of our faith, isn't it? There's something about gathering together and our differences and diversity, but united in this body of Christ. After all, Jesus promised when two or three are gathered in his name, he will be there also. The disciples in the passage were together, obediently waiting as Jesus had told them to. And on this day of Pentecost, I wonder what was going on for them. Where were they? Was it that room that they had been locked in just days or weeks earlier? Perhaps the where didn't matter for them so much because they were simply together. What would it have been like waiting in those days for the Spirit to come? I don't reckon they imagined or expected what happened next, the rushing wind and tongues of fire, perhaps reminding them of the stories of their ancestors who were led through the wilderness by a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, representing God's presence leading them. Those things settling on them and giving them new languages, the gift of different language. The promise that Jesus gave them as he ascended enabled the first step in a new kind of unity between his believers. It didn't suddenly change them all into Jews. The Spirit gave them the ability to speak and understand in ways that they would not have been able to do without it. Now, there were Jews from all over the known world, as it said, in town for the Jewish Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the Passover. These were people who had been scattered for generations through the conquering and oppression of Israel and Judah by the Babylonians, and so culturally, they had grown up very, very different, with different language, still united in their faith in God, but divided by language. This day, though, it is different. This day, they begin to hear people from a very clear, distinct region, all speaking these languages they couldn't have known. They hear the message of God in their own language. They do not have to be changed in order to hear the message of Jesus. God meets them where they're at. God speaks to them powerfully through those first followers of Jesus. And of course, whenever this happens, there are those who believe and there are those who don't. And it's the people who sneered that captured my imagination as I was thinking about Pentecost Sunday in this passage. Some of us, I hope all of us, will have been aware of God's presence in these last couple of months, either through, hopefully, our online gatherings or through your own rhythms and spiritual practices. I wonder how that has changed you and what has been something that has been unexpected for you in that time. Those first followers didn't expect to be able to speak different languages, and it caused some of them to be accused of drunkenness. That has made me wonder, what would the Spirit need to do or say to us to cause us to behave in ways that people don't expect? Not just for the sake of it, but so that others will hear the good news of Jesus through our words and our deeds. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to risk ridicule? Are we willing to follow the unexpected fire and wind of the Spirit? The pandemic has given us an opportunity, I believe, to follow the Spirit in a new, perhaps unexpected direction. We need to prayerfully discern what that is together. But it's risky. Who knows what will change? Who knows what will look different? But for the sake of God's kingdom and of God's reconciling ministry of the world to God's self, I'm keen to get on board with whatever that is. I'm keen to do that together. Let's pray. Spirit of the risen Christ, who is interceding at the throne of the Father on our behalf, thank you that you came and that you are with us, leading, guiding, speaking and uniting. Give us the courage to follow you no matter the cost, even if some will sneer, for the sake of God's kingdom and those that you love. Amen. The final, for this week at least. No. You guys can relax. New element to our services that I'm wanting to introduce today is a reflective and potentially additional sharing time. And it's going to be, the reflective space is going to be for 10 minutes. I'm literally going to put my phone timer on. And there's going to be an opportunity for you to respond in a few different ways. The first is you don't have to do anything. You can stay in your seat and just be praying, be listening to what the Spirit might be saying. You might want to grab a Bible and return to your seat and just read some scripture. If you want to do other things, there's going to be, first today there's going to be a video, a 3-minute music video that we'll watch and listen to. And then after that, you're invited to participate in any of the, there's a couple of options of response here. So there's some candles, as you can see. Some people might like to light a candle representing a prayer that you have prayed or you want to pray. You can light multiple candles if you want to, if there are a few things. There's also what will be developed over time, but this prayer wall, this is going to be something that if you want to write a prayer on the notes and then peg it on, and they're going to stay there until you choose to take it down. And so there'll be things that other people can read and perhaps be praying with you for. They're not necessarily, unless they can recognize your handwriting, going to know who it is. And then we also, this is partly around the sanitary requirements, but also there'll be the offering box there. There's a slot that you can put your offering in if you would like to give in that way. So you're welcome to do that in this time as well.